friends, and welcome back to yet another episode of What Page Are You On? It me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
I'm very happy that we're back, and it does seem like people are also happy that we're back.
I'm so happy to be back. I miss this.
Me too.
I miss the excuse to meet my mate and have a good old chat.
With an ice-cold Aqua Libra sparkling water infused with cucumber, mint and lime.
It's like being at a spa.
We're not sponsored, but we could be.
I know, you made that sound so much like
I want to sort of tease the idea that we should try and make some money from the pod. So if anyone's listening and has something that they want to advertise, hit us up.
Particularly delicious beverages.
Yeah, infused. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing gorge. It's a rainy day. I'm working really hard. My deadline for book two is looming over me. So I'm spending basically every waking hour writing. But, you know, that's nice. I like doing that.
There are worse things to have to do.
There are worse things. And hopefully this book will not be a worse thing when it's finished.
It will be such a good thing. We are also today accompanied by Peachy the dog, who is currently not in the room. But if she is in the room, you may hear the scratching of little claws.
The ASMR of her little claws on my floors.
Yes. What are you reading at the moment, my friend? What have you read recently? Tell me everything. Okay. Update me. I only saw you 1 week ago. Who knows what you've done since then?
I've been up to all sorts. So I've mostly been in my rereading era. I've been working on an article, which I'm not going to talk about, but it's involved rereading a lot of stuff. So that's been quite fun. It's fun rereading books that I didn't necessarily fully connect with the first time I read them. And I'm like a big rereading fan. I found over the last few years, because of doing like events, the pod,
blurbing,
like just the pressure to keep up with new releases, I haven't had as much time to reread. So I've really enjoyed that. I think it's a really valuable practice as both a reader and a writer to like revisit stuff and
think about how you feel about it. Yeah. And why you feel about it that may be different to how you felt about it the first time.
What about you? What have you been reading?
So I have been reading two books that I took home from you last week. One is Hunchback, the Japanese novel in translation.
Yes.
Which I loved. I say novel, but it's like less than 100 pages.
It's a true novella.
A true novella. And I'm now reading the Christelle Bamford book, Idle Grounds.
Oh, yeah.
Which is forthcoming April next year. And I started reading it yesterday. I'm more than halfway through, and it's very interesting. I'm really enjoying it.
What would you compare it to?
I don't know what I'd compare it to. It's sort of strange. It's like quite a straightforward premise, but it's quite strangely executed in terms of vibe. Yeah.
We will come back to Hunchback in a later pod episode. Yes. I don't want to like
go
blow
deep.
Our Hunchback load before, because it's not out till like next year, but it is such a banger. I can't wait to share it with our listeners.
Yeah.
Just not yet. The time isn't ripe.
In the fullness of time.
Yeah.
And I will report back on Idle Grounds by Christelle Bamford when I have finished it and give you my full review. Because I'm interested to see like how it resolves itself.
I can't wait. I'm ready.
What are we talking about today?
So I thought it'd be fun, inspired by the glowing reviews that the movie The Crow is getting, Crow remake. I thought it'd be fun to talk about some adaptions that are coming out next year.
Well, and an adaptation that has come out this year as well.
Did I say adaptions?
You did say adaptions.
I'm sad when you get words wrong.
TFW, you get words wrong. I knew what you meant. So this was semi... I said to Alice, who is my TikTok correspondent, I was like, what's going on TikTok these days? And you said, it ends with us. That's going on.
That is going on so hard. Have you been aware of
car
crash that is this movie and this campaign around it?
Kind of. I know that we all hate Blake Lively, but I don't really know what the... Can you describe the ruckus?
So, I think at its core, Colleen Hoover is not an author that I have read, so I'm going to withhold any judgment of the quality of her work, but she is definitely a quite controversial character. Like, her books were catapulted into, wild success. They kind of went they were early like TikTok, like BookTok famous books. And I think like, you know, she's got a huge volume of work, and my understanding is they're quite easy reads. It Ends With Us is controversial because it is positioned as a book and also as a movie, positioned as a romance.
Straightforwardly romantic.
Yeah, but it's actually a book about domestic violence. And I think a lot of people have found that juxtaposition of, like, presenting it as, like, a, you know, pink-covered kind of cutesy romance novel, and then actually having this really quite serious and quite disturbing kind of central theme. People have not been happy with that juxtaposition. And I also get the impression, but again, this is, I haven't read the book, I also get the impression that it's a revelation that there is an abusive element to this relationship, that that's not actually what the premise of the book is. So again, a lot of people are not happy that they're being surprised by something that actually they maybe would have preferred to have a content note about.
Very reasonable.
And yeah, like, but with the adaptation, like, they've basically taken this same problem that the book has experienced of, like, people not being pleased with this positioning, and they've somehow managed to learn nothing from the book's campaign and have done the exact same thing but made it so much worse. So, like, there's some sound bites coming out from Blake Lively interviews which are just mind-blowing. Like, an interviewer asked her, is there anything that you would say to survivors of domestic abuse? Like, is there any message you'd like to give them? And instead of responding with any kind of empathy whatsoever, or, like, recognizing what this question really means, which is, like, here's an opportunity for you to talk about the more serious nature of this movie.
And signpost, you know, services or, like, you know, social things that could be done for a person.
Yeah, instead of using it in any way to be helpful or deliver any kind of meaningful moment of, you know, empathy, she kind of does this bizarre, sarcastic joke of, like, well, I don't know, like, should we just give them my phone number? Like, what, do you want them to just come to my house? Should I give you my location? She just does this really bizarre, like, sarcastic bit that falls completely flat and is actually very strange.
It's very dark.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird. And it's almost like, I feel like it's very strange to see a celebrity that I have otherwise had absolutely no opinion of whatsoever.
Other than when she got married on a plantation. Not
bad. Oh, shit, that was her, wasn't it?
That was her. But yeah, it was also Ryan Reynolds, so, it, like, it's not only her.
Yeah.
There were two in that marriage.
There were two people who made that decision.
Yes.
But yeah, it's just very strange seeing someone, like, quite boldly seem to have no idea what the fuck the movie they were just in was about. And, like, there was another weird clip where she kind of says a phrase I think will go down in infamy of, like, what not to say. She's like, yeah, so, you know, it's out this weekend, wear your florals, grab your girlfriends, trying to do, like, a Barbie moment.
Oh, no.
And of it, again, it's just like, what film do you think you were in? Like, what do you actually think this is?
Oh, my God, does she think that because Deadpool and Wolverine with her husband Ryan Reynolds has come out almost simultaneously, does she think that she is the Barbie in this, like, Barbenheimer?
That's, like, a mind-blowing.
Oh, my God, that's so dark. Yeah, this is bad. This is very bad.
So, I we haven't read that novel. We haven't watched that movie. I don't think I will be reading or watching either one. So that's not really the crux of the chat today.
It's just the way in.
It's just, yeah, it's just our, like, little, it's our contemporary
pretext
hook.
Yes.
In which we can hang just some fun chat about movies and books. So I have a little list. I'm just going to, like, maybe run through them.
Hello, Gil. Can you hear that little scratch?
I know, I need to get a rug for this floor, but rugs are really expensive, and I've made a bold design choice of having a dark green velvet sofa, and I just don't know what colour rug will look, like, chic with that. So sadly, we can hear the dog's every movement.
As is her right. Okay,
it's her house. She doesn't pay fucking rent, but it's her house. Okay, so the first I have on my list is the Into the Vampire TV show.
I know it's very popular. I assume you're invested in it. Tell me everything.
Okay, so I am a big Into the Vampire fan. I've only read, I think there's like 10 books in Anne Rice's series. The first one being Into the Vampire, and then they get increasingly wacky until there's one that's like Lestat and the, like, Lost City of Atlantis, something like that. Like, they go really, like, out there.
Wait, so Vampires Under the Sea?
I think so. I haven't read that far. And I think they get increasingly Christian, so I'm also, like, kind of loses my interest a little bit. But I absolutely love the 94 movie, with Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt. So I didn't watch the TV show at first because I was just like,
must we?
Yeah, I was like, I don't feel like I need to. I'm very familiar with this plot, with these characters. I was like, I just don't feel like I need to. And then I gradually got worn down but of like experiencing FOMO at like chic events where people would all start suddenly talking about it, and I'd be like, shit, I actually feel like maybe I'm missing a trick. Mm. So I finally watched the first series. I haven't watched the second series yet, but oh my god, it is so fucking good. Like, I did not think that another actor could represent Lestat with the same like va-va-voom as Tom Cruise. I think it's his best role that he's ever played. But then the dude who plays him, what's his name? Sam Reed. Oh my god, he just, there's just this incredible campness. It's so hot, it's so good. I can't recommend it enough. I don't know if you would love it.
I can give it a go.
I think you should give it a go.
I'm always excited to be surprised.
But my other like fun fact about Interview the Vampire, I read recently that Anne Rice was not happy with the original casting. She just did not like Tom Cruise, did not see him as Lestat, just couldn't picture it at all. And went as far as was just saying that in interviews, like, yeah, I had nothing to do with casting, it's a terrible idea. Saw the movie and like issued an apology and was like, he's incredible. He just nailed it.
You gotta give it to him. You gotta give it to Tom Cruise sometimes. But this sounds like how I would approach, or for example, did approach Hannibal, the TV series. Mm. Because like, I love Silence of the Lambs, famously. Yeah. And yet I found Hannibal a very enriching experience.
So I watched the first season of Hannibal, and lots of people have compared Interview the TV adaptation to Hannibal, just because it's like more like overtly queer and it, you know. But I don't know, I just didn't vibe with Hannibal as much.
You weren't vibing?
I'm terrible with television though.
Yes, true.
I don't watch much of it. I watch a lot of stuff on the screen. I'm not trying to be like that girl, but I'm just not, I don't have the patience. I end up picking up my phone.
Yes.
Whereas Interview the Vampire,
she's not on her phone.
Yeah, no, I was fully invested. Also, I am so excited for the second season. Oh, I don't know if it'll happen in the second season, actually. One of my favourite terrible horror movies is called Queen of the Damned.
Oh, yes, with Aaliyah.
Yes, may she rest in peace.
Yeah.
And Stuart Townsend plays Lestat in that. And he takes it into a completely different direction. I feel like they clearly were just like, there is no point in even trying to replicate what Tom Cruise did in that movie, so we'll just do something different. And it's kind of wild because in that movie, Lestat, having lived in the shadows for most of his vampire life, he decides to step out into the open and become a rock star.
Okay.
Yeah, which for me, new metal soundtrack.
Yes.
Like, I am literally all over it. I love it so much. I still listen to that soundtrack. For me, it's perfect. But I just cannot quite imagine what this is going to look like in this reimagined like interview landscape.
But you're gonna find out.
I'm gonna find out so hard. I can't wait. Anyway, so that was that. And then speaking of goths, have you seen the reviews for The Crow remake?
Is The Crow a book?
It's a graphic novel.
Oh my god, I didn't know this. I was like, Alice, I respect you. I want you to be able to talk about The Crow as much as you want, but is it a book? I didn't know that it was a graphic novel.
So it's a graphic novel by, I want to say James O'Barr, or is it Jim O'Barr? Let me quickly look. James O'Barr. Anyway, yeah, so it's a graphic novel that came out in the 80s, I think. Late 80s. And based on the author's real tragic experience of losing his partner in a drive-by shooting.
Ooh.
Awful, awful, awful. And so he wrote this whole revenge narrative very much from the heart of, like, imagining both achieving, you know, the desired revenge, but also this, like, thinking about the afterlife. I haven't reread it in a really long time, but I will never get rid of my copy. I absolutely loved it as a teenage goth. And I also absolutely loved the Brandon Lee movie, obviously, because who the fuck doesn't?
I ain't seen it.
You haven't seen it, have you? Oh, God. Sometimes I look at you and I'm like, who the fuck is she? She's so chic.
And yet, she's never seen The Crow.
Not a goth bone in her body.
A really, goth, we did not have goths at my school.
Insane.
It was a goth-free zone.
What's our age difference?
I'm 35.
Only like 3 years.
I do think it was maybe a demographic thing. I think we just didn't have goths. It wasn't an age. I think there were goths at other schools, but at my school, no goths.
Crazy to me.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. The goths of Croydon were at another school.
But I also feel like in my school there weren't really goths. It was more like sick form when people started like
getting dark.
Yeah, getting more kind of black lipstick, Camden New Rocks energy. But also, yeah, I mean, I love the whole package with the Crow. I loved the moody cinematography. I love the soundtrack. I think Brandon Lee is just incredible. He has this perfect balance between being incredibly sexy. I think he's one of the best looking men ever. But then also completely unhinged.
Mm.
Like, but not in like a weird Joker, Jared Leto way. Like, truly kind of this manic character that has nothing left to lose. I think it's incredible. So this remake, I will say that I have an open heart, but as soon as I saw Bill Skarsgård's like Jokerification of that character, because the original movie is very much based on the artwork of the graphic novel, this rendition, I'm like, I'm open to change. I don't think adaptations have to be super loyal to the original. I think that's kind of the beauty of someone else's vision taking over.
It just sucks that this vision is so obvious.
But it's so derivative. Mm. I'm like, we've seen this. You've just done Jared Leto for...
Jared Loka.
Man alive. Anyway, we've seen this aesthetic already. So I'm just like, you've moved away from the original source material, but then just recreated something that we've already seen. So what's the fucking point?
Yes.
I am still going to go and see it, though.
Even though, as we've just discovered recently, the reviews are very bad.
The reviews. For those listening at home who may not have been following the reviews as closely as I have, I am going to share some choice nugs from
please.
The Guardian piece. There's just no pull, no urge, no passion. Just B-roll of two lifeless actors posing for a lower-tier perfume ad.
Ooh.
I know, that's so bitchy. And then this one. Hello, gal. Filmed 2 years ago and dumped on a low-expectation late summer weekend, The Crow 2.0 is a total head-in-hands disaster. Incoherently plotted and sloppily made, destined to join the annals of the very worst and most pointless remakes ever made. And I will say, I think it's wild to have something that can be described as incoherently plotted when you have both a movie, which is solidly plotted, and a graphic novel, which is also tightly plotted. Like,
you know what this is giving? This is giving the film adaptation of the thriller The Snowman by Yo Nesbo, which is like unhinged, like does not make sense. And you look at it and you're like, the book gave you everything you needed. How has it ended up like this? And it does sound like this has had the same kind of development hell that The Snowman had.
So you loved that book, though, didn't
I really
you?
Love the book,
The Snowman. Funny you should bring that up, because the review also name checks that basically says this is the worst adaptation since The Snowman.
That is so interesting, because as you were, you know, what you were describing and saying, like, but the source material is coherent, I was like, yes, just like The Snowman. So it's really funny that, like, it has been observed by people other than your boy.
But also, apparently, according to this review, The Snowman was released, it was just unfinished.
Yeah, that's it was essentially unfinished. They ran out of money. They literally ran out of money.
That's so wild, isn't it?
Whereas it doesn't sound like The Crow ran out of money. It just sounds like there was no drive to make it good. Like, there was just too many people working on it for too long, and no one was, like, the architect.
Well, I think they burnt through directors. There were multiple directors for it. It just sounds like a complete disaster, and I can't fucking wait.
You will be there with your Tango Ice Blast or whatever
honey,
it is.
I'm a genie in the tin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, no, I love
you haven't got, like, a big blue drink?
No, I like to have... If I have anything, I actually don't tend to like anything in the cinema, but if I have anything, I either bring in, like, a little cocktail in a can or possibly a big DC.
Mm.
And sometimes I like to treat myself to some crunchy, stale pick-a-mix.
So when you say you don't like to take things into the cinema, why? I cannot be in the cinema without some kind of treat.
You know what? Honestly, I think it's because I don't like the distraction of rustling around. I'm not bothered by other people rustling. I appreciate that if you're in the cinema, you are not in your living room. Other people have the right to make noise. I just don't like the distraction of it. I don't like... I don't know. I don't know.
It feels like a burden upon you.
Well, I think also it's just like, you know, I'm a chunky gal. It's not comfortable to, like, rest something on my lap. I don't have much lap to use. Much real estate.
Much restable lap.
North of the knees. And I also find like the cup holders tend to be very close to my body and quite awkward to use. So with a little genie and a tin, I can comfortably hold that in my hand.
It's a low maintenance thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, also, to be honest, I hate having to need the loo in the middle of a film.
Yeah.
And I always have a drink beforehand.
Like, yeah.
I'm a shocker for that. So, like, I don't want to have additional liquid entering my body. Once I've had my pre-cinema pint, I've had my pre-film wee, then I just want to remain, like...
Locked in.
Yeah. Enjoy my experience and leave.
Well, I learn something new about you every day.
So, what's next on my adaptation list? I've got to keep moving. Got to keep it going.
Even though I love to learn new things about you, we do have to keep it going.
I'm quite excited, or I'm intrigued by The Outrun.
Yeah. Sorry. I like Saoirse Ronan. I do like her. I haven't read the book, but I like Amy Liptrot as a person.
I loved that book. I haven't read her second one, which is up there, The Instant, which I'm excited to. It's just one of those books. I bought it as soon as it came out in paperback, and I haven't quite had the opportunity yet. But I'm very intrigued about a film that's based on a memoir.
Of someone...
who's still alive.
Not just still alive, but, like, not that much old. You know, like, it's not sort of...
yeah.
That far removed from the person that's playing them in the film.
Yeah, I'm fascinated. I'm intrigued. I think Saoirse Ronan looks amazing. Like, it looks exciting.
It does look exciting. I hope it turns out good.
And I will say, I'm really excited to see Orkney.
Yeah. On
the big screen. Because that's something that I loved about The Outrun, is that... I loved the nature writing as much as I loved the messy woman in London writing. Yeah. Which I think, you know, that was something that I really enjoyed about the book when I read it when I was like, however old I was, 30. I was a bookseller at the time, and I remember it was such an easy sell.
Yeah.
Like, it just flew out. It was such a good one to recommend to people, and like a really wide array of people read it. I think because it has that really interesting balance between like...
for the natures and for the girlies.
Yeah. The two genders. Yeah. So yeah, I'm really buzzed for that one. How about Night Bitch?
Yes. I've another book I haven't read. Have you read the book?
I've read the book.
Is it good?
I enjoyed the book.
Okay.
Did we not have her, Rachel Yoda, on the podcast?
No. 100%. I don't even know who you're thinking of. Who do you think we spoke to?
Who the fuck did we speak to?
I'd love to know who you're thinking of.
No, you know, I didn't...
Off the record, you can tell me who you're thinking
no,
of.
No, this is on the record. I have spoken to her. Okay. I chaired an event with her during lockdown.
Oh, so you have spoken remotely to Rachel Yoda, which is the kind of thing that we would have done on the pod, but we didn't do it on the pod because you did it.
But this is the thing, man. Sometimes I do feel like my brain is just... mashed potato. Like, I thought for ages that Elizabeth McNeil lived near Hampstead because we saw her at Hampstead Pond one time at the ladies' pond, and you were like, no, that's just the last place we
saw her. Yes. Like, we don't live in Hampstead. Like, she... do you think Elizabeth McNeil thinks we live in the pond?
Yes.
No. She's so smart. There's no way she thinks we live in the pond.
I feel like I look like someone who could live in the pond.
Yes. You have powerful bog person energy. Okay, yes. Your brain... was semi-correct. So you have spoken to her.
Yes.
And you like Night Bitch, which is another book I haven't read.
Fun book. But I'm excited, I'm intrigued about the film.
Is it Amy Adams or Anne Hathaway?
I want to say Amy Adams.
Yeah, I think it's Amy Adams. It's one of the girlies. There's only two girlies, it can be one of them.
But I'm intrigued and excited because sometimes I find that I struggle a little bit with like very more action-oriented horror. I think of Night Bitch as a horror novel. I guess it's like magical realism. For those at home who are not familiar with this book, it is about a woman who is struggling. She's a stay-at-home mom, struggling with motherhood, and she slowly begins to transform into a dog. So it's kind of like a werewolf energy. And it's quite fun. I know lots of people also really loved it.
And the rights sold for £1 million.
Yes, and I think quite quickly as well, which is quite rare. Sorry, I've just been completely distracted and looking up who the actress is in the movie, and it is Amy Adams.
Yeah.
I've just seen that apparently the novel was inspired, or further inspired, by a passage from The Department of Speculation by Jenny Offill.
Interesting. A book I have read, but not for a long time.
That is such a good book, isn't it? I remember absolutely loving it, but also I remember nothing about it.
Precisely nothing.
Yeah. Just a good time. Anyway, so I'm excited about it. So sometimes I struggle with lots of action on the page, which I tried to articulate this on a horror podcast recently, and well, when my book came out, and I feel haunted by it because I think it makes me sound like such a dum-dum. But like lots of action sequences, sometimes I just lose my way with them a little bit. I struggle to like what's going on.
Yeah.
So I think this will be a really good one to like experience on the big screen.
Yes. Yeah. I will almost certainly go and see it. As I have not read the book.
Something to look forward to. Okay, next on my list. I think this is a controversial one.
Oh my God, tell me.
How do you feel about Emerald Fennell's Wuthering Heights?
I'll probably go and see it.
You love the cinema.
I do, that's the thing. I do love going to the cinema.
You go like every week.
I go at least once a week.
I try and go once a month.
Sometimes more than once a week. Me going very often is a product of having a cinema membership. If I did not have that, I would not be doing it. But I do. I will definitely go and see that. I have not read Wuthering Heights.
Me neither.
So this is like my workaround.
I realised as well though, in like making this list, I was like, man, I've never seen any adaptation of Wuthering Heights and I've not read the book. Everything I know about Wuthering Heights comes from
the song
of the same name, yeah. By Kate Bush. But I like classics, and I particularly like Gothic, the Gothic canon. And every year I try and read one or two, depending on like how chunky they are. Whereas this is one that I've never felt that drawn to, for the laziest reason, because so many people say it's just like a tougher one to chew. And it's quite chunky, and I'm always like, man, what I enjoy about classics is reading them being like, man, that was so readable.
Yeah, like being pleasantly surprised by how accessible it was. Yeah.
Whereas, like, I read Turn of the Screw, like, 2 years ago, and I was like, I want to die.
Yeah.
I want to die.
And that has an amazing film adaptation, so you literally might as well just watch.
Which film?
It's called The Innocents.
Oh, okay. I was like, not...
No.
The one. What was that other one called?
No. The Mike Flanagan one that they did on Netflix.
No, I'm not thinking of that.
Well, the Turn of the Screw was adapted into The Innocents, which is a genuinely terrifying horror film, and I love it.
The thing is, on paper, Turn of the Screw should be my jam. Like, I love gothic horror. I love books from that time period. I've loved lots of other stuff that, like, with contemporaries to it. Henry James, man, he just doesn't know when to end a sentence, and that gets on my tits.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've been in this sentence for, like, 5 lines, and I've forgotten where we started.
Bad vibes.
And I feel like, you know... I feel like there is value in admitting when you're just not smart enough for something. I'm not smart enough for Henry James.
Just watch the film.
She's human. She has limits. But anyway, I do, for my sins, as you may or may not know, I really love Saltburn.
It's so funny. When I saw Saltburn at a preview, and the first thing I thought was like, gotta WhatsApp Alice and tell her about this film, Saltburn, that she's gonna love. Little did I know how much she would love it when she saw it.
I don't even want to talk about how much I love it, because I also feel like Saltburn has been a real victim of like internet snark.
Yeah.
There's so many people seem to just hate it so much that it's like an embarrassing thing to be obsessed with.
Nah. I rarely rewatch things, especially in quick succession, but I watched Saltburn twice last year. I know that that's nothing on how many times you watched it.
I don't want to talk about how many times. Yeah. You can't expose me on the pod.
But I'm with you.
I'll show you on my hands.
Okay. That's a lot. The only film I've probably seen that many times is like 10 Things I Hate About You or A Knight's Tale.
I am a big film rewatcher though, as well as much as I also love rereading books, and I reread some books obsessively. When I'm into something, I'm really into it. And will want to relive that experience as often as possible. And I find that I very rarely get sick of things. So like, I rewatch. In fact, I started tracking the films that I watch as well as the books that I read. And the majority of the movies that I watch are rewatches. I probably only watch a film that I haven't seen before maybe twice a month, whereas I probably watch about 15 movies a month.
We're very different.
Aren't we?
Takes all sorts.
Okay,
but yeah, I will definitely be watching The Girlies, Wuthering Heights.
And then maybe I will. I think I have a copy of it. I am supposed to have read it because I did a whole gothic horror unit at university. I just skipped it. I couldn't be bothered.
And you got away with it.
I did. Turns out you literally don't have to read it. You don't have to read anything. It's fine. But speaking of gothic fiction, the last adaptation I have on my list is another one that has sparked some controversy before it's even got out the fucking trap. Have you heard about The Picture of Dorian Gray?
Not one word.
You haven't heard about this?
No.
Okay, so The Picture of Dorian Gray, an adaptation has been announced, adapted for Netflix, and everyone, it's being adapted by the dude that's done like Riverdale and Red, White and Royal Blue, but it's going to be called The Greys, and it's going to be a modern take.
Sounds shit.
So immediately kind of disappointed, but also something that you may or may not know about The Picture of Dorian Gray is that obviously Oscar Wilde, it's super gay, right? It's like super gay. They're turning the two central characters are going to be siblings, thus removing
the
sexual tension between them.
This is weird. Why are they doing any of this?
Isn't it so strange?
This was frankly unnecessary.
What we want is more gay.
Yeah.
We don't want less gay.
Have they not learned?
And like, I just, when was the last adaptation of The Picture of Dorian Gray? Like one that was like normal and good, not like a weird superhero.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I always just think of like the Stephen Fry one from like, what, the 80s, 90s? Probably 80s. So it's an opportunity to do something so cool with such an incredible story. Why immediately?
Make it shit.
Make it straight.
Something that has been enormously successful this year alone has been the stage version of it with Sarah Snook from Succession, where she plays all the characters to great effect. So I'm like, it's not like it's a thing that you can't mess with, but like mess with it in a way that feels like fun and interesting rather than really predictable and boring.
Listen to this line. So I've just been like quickly skimming. I've been getting my info from an article that I found online. So obviously, given the time period it was written, in the 1890s, it's not explicitly queer, right? It's all a subtext. But listen to this line. So Basil is the character who paints the portrait of the character Dorian, right? And he says to him, "It is quite true that I have worshipped you with far more romance than a man should ever give to a friend."
Mm.
Why are you taking as that well, yeah, away from us?
Yeah, pathetic. Pathetic worms.
But I don't know how deep they are in production, so maybe there's still time to realise everyone fucking hates this idea and they will rethink their mistakes.
We live in hope.
Anyway, that thus concludes the end of my list of...
Forthcoming
adaptations. I can't wait to watch all these movies and perhaps read/reread all of these books.
I can't wait for you to tell me what The Crow is like.
I cannot wait to give you a blow-by-blow report.
Of a film I have not seen and all consumed in any form, and I'm unlikely to go and see this one, but more likely to see the Brandon Lee one off the back of your recommendation.
I'm going
to
have you over around Halloween. It's the whole movie happens over October 30th, Devil's Night, as they call it. I'm going to have you over in October. You're going to have as many snacks as you want.
Deviled eggs? Deviled eggs.
I will devil the fuck out of some eggs for you.
For Devil's Night.
Spicy ones, yeah. And I'm going to make you watch that movie. And I'm going to interrupt with all my facts.
Yeah, that's fine. Because it's not like I'm going to be like, you know, we're not watching like my favourite film of all time that I want to watch uninterrupted. Like, I'm well up for being interrupted with facts.
No, I'm a yapper.
Yeah.
And I will yap the hell out of you. Can I tell you, before we sign off for this episode, what my true fear is?
Tell me.
I'm really worried that I'm going to enjoy the new Crow remake, and then that will be my embarrassing
That will
obsession.
Be your Saltburn 2024.
Yeah, like my untweetable opinion that I think it's art.
Yeah, but like...
And then I'll get bullied. I'll get subtweeted by all the bullies.
No, because like, those freaks like to be contrary as well. So like, you can join the subtweeting bully freaks with a contrary opinion.
That's true.
Yeah, you'll be right at home.
I'm not like other girls.
Exactly.
I like the Crow remake.
Yes.
I think it's good that they made him look like the Joker.
Yeah.
From Suicide Squad.
I think it's chic. On that note, we will see you next time.
Let's go.